This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bull & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bull & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Inside the Monster with Steve Perrault and Joey Capone.
Welcome to episode 57 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster, presented by Odyssey with myself, Steve Perrault, and Joey Capone. The Sox got swept by the Rays. Joey, how you doing?
Yeah, the Sox got swept by the Rays, dude. Honestly, a little relieved. You know, we can stop pretending. We can stop with the hope. I think it's time we stop the count. How are you feeling?
I've felt that way for a good amount of time.
I think it's good to hear you say it.
It's good to hear you say it. But yeah, no, it was. See, the thing that was tough, just from the standpoint of like casually looking at the wild card standings, just as a thing to do, is that I forgot the Jays had a doubleheader on Monday, and them winning both of those and the Sox losing the first one was like, oh god, 7.5 to 9 is an enormous jump. That's just that really put a huge dent in it. But yeah, obviously, this is the furthest back the Red Sox have been all season. So now it's trying to bring other people down with you, other teams down with you. If you're going to go by that logic, by the way, I don't hate giving the Rays 3 wins, because that's what they did. That's what the Sox did. They handed them over. They're like, hey, you got to stay within reach of the Yankees. Yankees get a doubleheader on Wednesday with the Twins, which they may win both of them. Game 2 is going on as we're recording this, and they're up 4-1.
The Sox easily could have taken it to the Rays. Everyone knows that. They turned over. They rolled over for them.
Exactly. It's not like the Red Sox have lost 9 in a row at the Trop. That has nothing to do with it, Joey.
No, or the fact that they're now 4-12 on the year against the Rays. That has nothing to do with it.
Has nothing to do with it at all. You know, it's simply a standings thing, and it's simply a wanting the Yankees in the wild card round thing, which I totally get. I saw JP tweet this out. The Red Sox went 88. I cannot believe this. I can't believe what I'm about to say. Red Sox won 88 consecutive games without being shut out, which is their longest streak of the century.
What?
That's obviously leading up until game 3 of the series. They broke a tie with an 86-game stretch from 2004 to 2005.
So
how crazy is that?
As far as like in season goes, though, how long? You know what I mean? Because you're talking over two seasons was that 86 game streak. As far as one season, I wonder how far back you got to go.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
See something even closer. That is one of the more unbelievable stats I've heard about this team all year.
I genuinely couldn't believe it. It was the longest streak in MLB until the Rays broke it in Game 3. And the Red Sox, longest streak since 1999 of not getting shut out. That's crazy. That just doesn't that not sound right? Like, I know it's right.
19 when?
It's their longest since 99. Their longest streak of not getting shut out.
That's strange. It's very
strange. That's just so bizarre. I had replied to JP at Sox Notes, great follow, as we've been saying all season. And I was like, how that happened in this season is kind of stunning. And he replied, I make most of these up. Not sure if it's actually true. So that, how funny would that be if he was just making this stuff up all year and just presenting it? But he presents it in a very official form where it's like things are well spaced out and he's got everything, you know, the punctuation's all right, but it's all just BS. It's all just made up.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, who's going to go check?
Nobody. Also, who's gonna it's check stuff, if that's, it's always specific. Weird stuff. It's always, it's always stuff that you can't just like look up. And I mean, he had, what does he have, the Casas one here. At 22 years and 232 days old, Tristan Casas becomes the youngest Red Sox to play first base in more than 50 years. How are you looking that up? How is the average Joe going to look that up? You're just not going to.
No.
So, Justin, we're up to your thing. We're up to your shtick here. And even though you called yourself out.
I was going to say, we're on to you because you told us explicitly.
We're on to you because you let us know that you're just making this stuff up. So that's how we cracked the code and found out that you've just been making this stuff up. That would be, what a reveal if at the end of this, he just like says that on his Twitter. Like, it's one thing to reply. Yeah. It's another thing to tweet. It's just like, yeah, these are all just lies.
Can't believe you guys, wait, you guys thought I was being serious?
Yeah, this wasn't serious. This was always jokey doos, you know? Come on. What are we actually talking about here? Get with it. What do you guys are all idiots. Somehow, did the Red Sox odds go up? That doesn't make any sense.
There's no chance.
They were at 0.3. Now they're at 0.4. I don't know what that's all about. But, it's not 0%.
It's
not 0.0. So at least there is that. But, we have our unofficially official elimination number down to 4. And you know what I realized that we've been doing this whole time? Calling it an elimination number kind of implies that the team that you're chasing, if they win, that would bring it down another number. But we've only been going by losses. So essentially, it's an unofficial loss number that they have left.
Yeah.
So Sox can't lose 4 more. They got to go 21-3 the rest of the way to get to 88 wins. There we go.
I mentioned this on the short, but it remains true today. The Sox are further out of a wild card spot than the Arizona Diamondbacks and the San Francisco Giants.
That's fun.
So do with that information what you will. Let that decide your mood to whatever extent you decide.
But let's maybe flip this, huh?
Okay, yeah. I'm down to hear a spin zone. Hit me.
Let's maybe flip this because in this last few weeks here, we might be on tankathon.com/MLB. You know what I'm saying? Know what I'm saying, Joe?
No, because there are teams that are so bad.
I'm talking about in terms of where I'm saying with the D-backs and the Giants. So if the Sox finish behind those two teams, they'd be looking at like the 12th pick in the draft. So that's essentially where we're at now. We're at draft talk. That's where we.
That does
that's where
absolutely
this season has led us.
Nothing for me. That does
of course it
nothing
doesn't.
For me. Even like last place, if it was like, oh man, we're getting like the one or two pick. I'm still like, dude, that's. I mean, great. There's a
I can't agree with that. That obviously would do something if they got the top pick in the draft.
What a 15-20% chance that guy becomes what you think he's going to become.
Yeah, but that was the whole point of the 2020 season. I mean, that's how you got Marcelo Mayer, and like who knows?
The thing, he's 19 years old. Like we still don't know. You're saying
no,
like,
of course.
But I'm saying, and that's how we got our stud shortstop that plays for us right now.
That's how we got our top trade piece. Like that. That's how I look at these guys. I don't look at them necessarily as like Marcelo's definitely going to be the future, shortstop of the Red Sox. I look at it as you could absolutely package him in a deal and get somebody legit and play off of where he is in the prospect rankings for Major League Baseball. But
that's also like a bummer because it's like, hey, have this guy in your system, fall in love with him, and then once you start to really like him and think that he has some potential in the bigs, we'll get rid of him for a reliever that we need in August, you know?
Yeah, well, now you're just assuming it's a reliever deal. This could be he could be part of a big deal. That's how you got Chris Sale.
Sure.
You know?
Yes.
So I would be way more excited about this last month if they had a chance at a top five pick. Like that, I think that would change the entire perception of what's going on. And there's no chance we would dive into who would be projected to go there. That's right up stats alley of who's expected to go in like the top five in the 2023 MLB draft. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But Kike signed an extension. And obviously we got to talk about that. Kike Hernandez will be back for the 2023 season. Yeah, we'll clap. Yeah. 1 year, $10 million deal for the outfielder, infielder, goofball, but kind of not a goofball. But yeah, Kike's an interesting case. How, when you think of Kike, what do you think of?
I think of Lil Poppy.
Lil Poppy?
You remember the Lil Poppy last year?
What do you mean?
When he was on his crazy run during the postseason, people were selling T-shirts of him that said,
I don't remember this.
Lil Poppy.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah, I know. So what I was trying to say there is...
I'm glad I didn't see that.
Yeah. God. What I was trying to say is I think of him in a positive light. I think of his great postseason. Yeah. He's an interesting cat, bro. Like you said, he's a goofball, but he's really not.
He's not
on like a
goofball.
A personal
he's not. Yeah, that was probably one of the biggest things that was kind of missold with Kike. I think with the players, they like him, but he's not the banana guy. I thought we were getting banana guy. That's not really what Kike is.
No.
I kind of wish it was. But then again, you got Arroyo, who Arroyo's like a classy goofball. Like he doesn't do like low-level goof stuff, but he's a good jokester with the guys. Right? Like he does, like there's different levels of being the team goof. Like that, Brett Phillips is a great example. Where he'll be doing all the motions on the mound and acting crazy out there. And I love Brett Phillips, but that's a different level of goof. That's kind of like, I'll do anything to make you laugh. That's kind of like a clown goof. Not a clown. You know what? Not like an actual,
a class clown. Class clown.
Like yeah, exactly. Exactly. There you go. I was having a terrible time describing that. But but yeah, Kike's not that. And not that he needs to be. But I remember, you know, even asking Haim about that of like, how much does it matter that you just got a clubhouse guy and keep when they signed him to the 2 year deal?
Yeah.
And now that I've seen it play out, I'm like, oh no, that's not really who he is. If anything, my expectations haven't like changed for the bad. It's more just, okay, he's way better in center than I would have ever expected. He can be an everyday guy. Obviously the injury this year messed up his season. So from that perspective, it's nice that he gets to run it back for, you know, presumably another full healthy year, hopefully. But I don't know. I'm always like on the fence with Kike, you know,
because
it's like obviously the postseason
favorite.
Run was crazy. He's a fan favorite light. I would say he's a fan favorite light.
Whenever I, you know, when people, I don't know how to put this, like secondary friends, you know, people that you see every now and again.
That's
whenever
Kike.
They're like, no, whenever I see those people and they're like, oh, how's the job? How's the big Sox guy now? How you doing with that? Like, what are the players like? Kike's always like one of the first guys asked about. It's always like, what's Kike like? Is Kike funny? Is he hilarious, bro? Like, tell me. It's weird. He's always one of the first guys who comes up. You don't see a lot of Kike jerseys or anything, but he's also been here for 11 seconds, so...
I mean, he's going to be going on his third year. So it's.
Yeah, I mean, fans weren't even in the building at the beginning of last year. You know what
I
mean?
I know.
So fans have seen him for a season and a half.
Yeah. I don't know. I always feel. I don't want to say I feel indifferent about Kike because you know what he brings to the table. He can obviously play multiple positions. He's a guy that is very close with Cora for whatever that's worth. I think it helps to have guys that feel like the manager is one of them, like they're one of the dudes and they can, you know, bring anything up to him and. Have real combos with him so it doesn't... I mean, the Farrell thing... I always think back to the Farrell relationship with the players and how... I don't want to say how non-existent it was, but just how much the guys would always be like, wink, wink, nod, nod, we do not love John Farrell. I mean, it was... It just didn't really work out. And so, obviously, it's nice that you have Cora in there.
Mm-hmm.
But now, hey, now you're looking at two seasons following a World Series championship, which was like the best season in team history in 18. And... being two games away from the World Series, you now have two major letdown seasons following those. And it's going to be interesting because now Cora's going to have a couple of these on the resume. And not to say, I mean, this, I don't think much of the, you know, blame pie goes to Cora. I can't put much of any of the percentage into Cora for what he had to deal with this year. But there's going to be more eyes on him and more pressure next year of like, okay, you know, if you have the guys back, let's say Xander's back, Raffy's back either way, whether he's playing his last year of his contract or they extend him, and Kike's back, and Arroyo's hopefully healthy, and the rotation, a lot of question marks there. Bullpen hopefully has been restocked, and your outfield is set and all that stuff. Casas is ready for a full season. and the rest of the infield should be good. You know, obviously with Story, you know, performing very well since coming off the IL, that it's like, okay, you guys better be good. And I know the line that we were going to mention that everyone was talking about is Kike saying, you know, not telling me Haim promised me the team's going to be better, but he promised me the team's going to be like much better next year. So there's a promise, and then there's like a, this promise better not have a lot of hope in it, is what I'm saying. I think 2022, the expectation of the Red Sox repeating what they did had a good amount of hope in it and not a good amount of this is definitively going to be a good team. I'm saying from the front office perspective of like, all right, well, this Evaldi's going to have to be healthy the whole year. Like, Kike's going to have to do what he just did in the postseason. Hopefully Bobby's really good. We'll see. This bullpen's going to have to hold up.
Do you see Haim saying that with all that on his mind? Like, do you see Haim saying we're going to be much better next year? And in his head, he's like, these guys will all figure it out.
No, I'm just saying those are two different things, Joe. It's I'm saying, like, you better not be banking on the best from everybody, because I think this year they were kind of banking on the best from everybody. Like, you're obviously going to have to say that, assuming how much, when you heard that quote, how much percentage do you think was directly connected to Xander when you heard Kike say that?
100%. Okay. I read that quote as Xander Bogaerts is coming back, and I read it as we're going after Aaron Judge, if I'm being entirely honest. That's how I read it. I read it as Bogey's here and Judge is probably going to be here.
Well, yeah. I don't know if I saw him say it first or saw the quote first, but I think it was a Jen McCaffrey tweet. And it was like, wait a second. So we're going to get every top free agent, and Aaron Judge is obviously going to sign here, and we're going to extend Devers, and Xander's signing an 8-year deal, and, you know, everybody's back. Like, that's kind of, your gut wants it to be that, just because of what we've gone through the last few months. We're like, all right, let's at least, and if I'm the front office, this is, you know, I would do this every single time, because it's, to us, it's fake money, Joey. I would want this team next year, if you're going to say you're going to be much better, to me, what that implies is that you're going to go overboard a little bit this offseason, which, if Haim's going to do that, that's obviously the first time he's doing that. What's the longest deal he signed? Kike? 2 years? I mean, it's like, I guess Story,
Whitlock,
obviously. But I'm saying, like, leading up to the Story signing. And Whitlock, yeah, but I guess I'm more looking at it as, like, big commitments with big money. It's been, what, it's been Trevor Story.
It's Trevor. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So, if you're going to say much better, you better be ready to shell out a lot of money, is what I'm saying.
That, I think it's one and the same. I think that's exactly how a lot of people interpreted it, and I think that's exactly how he meant it. Like, yeah. I don't think that Haim would get up there and say, we're going to be significantly better, Kike. Not up there. He wasn't, like, in front of people. But I don't think he would say to Kike, like, we are going to be a much better team next year, and the only thing that's making him say that is just belief. I don't see that. Yeah. Honestly, I heard it as Bogey and Devers. I really did. Because I would really, really love, this is so stupid, this is such an understatement, I would really love if they didn't let Raffy get to free agency. I think that'd be sick.
Wouldn't that be cool? That would seemingly be kind of cool.
Yeah. And I see a reality where that's possible. I see a reality where they're like, look, this is the year that we're spending, and we're spending big, and we're locking this up and moving forward with this core. To jump back like 10 minutes, I just didn't want to cut you off because you were kind of on a roll there.
Yeah.
John Farrell, really quick here. If you haven't seen it, or if you just need to remind yourself of just how much that wink, wink, nod, nod, we all hate John Farrell thing was alive for the Red Sox, go back and watch the moment that Mookie Betts was blindsided by John Farrell being on the, what is that, the Fox broadcast?
No, I think it was Sunday Night Baseball.
Was it?
Yeah. They had Farrell doing some Baseball Tonight stuff. They don't do much Baseball Tonight anymore, I don't think. I think it's just before the Sunday game.
Oh, my goodness. Mookie's
face. It's so awkward.
When he's like, oh, hey, Skip.
Hey, old pal.
He's like, Mookie, yeah, that's, you know, I remember when I was your manager. Do you remember that, too? Yeah. Good to see you,
John. It had a lot of X energy. It really did. Like, hey, fancy seeing you here.
Hey.
Hey, old
X energy. I thought I said like Eckersley energy.
Oh no, I meant like ex-girlfriend. Yeah.
How you been? Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Hey.
Nice. I just told all my friends about that thing you used to do. So, yeah, everyone in my circle knows that thing you're into. So,
just know that. I just let everyone know you're the worst, but good to see ya, and we'll talk later, all right? All right,
bye. You ruined my brain. You ruined my heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it had that to it. But anyway, Chaim Bloomend, Alex Cora, I don't know, man. It instilled probably more hope than it should have in me. I read into it a lot.
Why wouldn't you, though, right? Why wouldn't you?
Well, because you didn't hear directly from Chaim. Probably that's why.
But why would Kike say that? He's not going to just say that.
Right, but I think there's a difference between saying something to a player behind closed doors and having the confidence to say, not confidence, but having the, it's just a different level of commitment, you know, to say it openly, like in like a press conference, to be like, look, next year going to be very different. We are open in the books and we are going to be a lot better, versus saying to a player that you're trying to get to sign for, let's be honest here, way under market value.
Way under market value if he was healthy this year. I think it does benefit the Red Sox that Kike got hurt, as weird as that sounds.
It's a pretty thin free agent class, man. I think that he really could have been one of the guys to get, I don't know, 15, 16 for 3 years, 2 years?
Potentially, yeah. So, I am. My first instinct was surprise that he signed a one-year deal. From his perspective, I'm like, interesting. I thought he would have got at least like 3 years from somebody.
Oddly enough, so I listened to the Bradfoe show where they had they aired the soundbite that this is all from, right? And it was cool. It was telling Kike. Kike talks, dude. Kike is good with the media, and he said that if he had gone to free agency, he still would have been looking for a one-year deal somewhere. And nobody followed up on that. But that I would have been like, oh, well, why? Why that?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer there.
I mean, if it's going to be from the perspective of like reestablished value coming off of a season where he's going to play, what, like 80 games? He's going to play half a season this year, hitting .217 with a .630 OPS. Like, obviously, what he did in 2021 mattered way more. And if he entered, I mean, let's be real. If you flip these seasons, Kike's not coming back to the Red Sox.
Yeah.
Like, there's absolutely no way. If he did in 21 what he did this year, and there's just no chance. There's no chance that, you know, that he would have been coming back for a 1 year.
Season, dude?
Yeah, no way. He would have signed like a 30-year deal. Well, I actually would have been curious to see what Kike would have signed if he was coming off of that postseason. And becoming a free agent at the age of, what, 31? He probably could have gotten like a 5-6 year deal.
It's like crazy right there. How much weight like a hot playoffs can do for you, man. I mean,
what you've done for me lately is so big in contract talks. I mean, Judge is going to sign an $8 billion deal.
I mean, Carlos Correa might be like one of the biggest examples of that, dude. Like,
yeah.
How, in retrospect, how did he get that money? I think it's because he's a household name. Because he's on your national television screens in every October.
I think one thing we forget about with a lot of these negotiations in the offseason, and it's going to happen again this year, is that when you haven't seen games every single night and you have the last 8 games to go off of, what he did this last month, you know, you're visually at the park seeing him play. Oh my gosh, saw him make that great ball. He's buzzing right now. When you don't have that visual aid, you kind of get, and Boris and all these guys are great at it, you get bamboozled. You get a little tricked into being like, wait a second, is this guy the greatest player of all time? Is Carlos Correa the greatest shortstop ever? And you forget a little bit where they actually rank among active players at their position. And the Correa one's a great one. I mean, he's a very good player. Carlos Correa is a very good player. He is not worth the contract he signed at all. The age obviously factored into that. He was the youngest free agent in a while to be in the position he was in.
Yeah.
But still, I just, that one drives me nuts. But for Kike, I mean, it's, hey, Red Sox got him signed. You love to see it because at least it answers one question of many that you're going to have this offseason. I was very surprised to see it happen during the year. And I know we only have, what, a month left, and this, they're not making the playoffs. So do you think it gives any excitement to you? I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, but like, oh, Chaim is willing to sign guys during the season. He signed a guy during the season. I know it's only a one-year, $10 million deal, but, like, at least that lets you know he can do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice to have that door open. I think I was already just, like, on defense mode and ready for people to be like, see, you can do it. See, you can do it. That was kind of my initial reaction. Is like, oh, there's going to be a lot of people saying they should sign Devers now, and that's, like, not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm comparing on, like, things. I more just mean that he's willing to do it. It carries some weight.
Yeah, no, for sure. I guess it just wasn't the first thing to hit me.
Yeah.
But it is awesome. It's also awesome to have Kike's agent or representative. I don't know who he's represented by. You can find that out real quick, though. But nice to just kind of set a precedent that it can be done, too, because I think a lot of that comes from players' representation, that they're like, they don't want to do in-season negotiations.
No, we're not going to do in-season, which, let's be real, that's so dumb. It's this, like, bargaining chip they try to use to get the deal done before the season, when we're going to be hanging out for the next 6 months. Like, you telling me we can't get a deal done over the course from March to October, we can't sign a contract? What are you talking about? I've never understood that.
Some of it's got to be protecting your guy. You're like, look, I don't want to get in his head and cloud him up with contract negotiations. Let's let him play his game. Because let's say over the course of the year, you have a bunch of talks and you never reach a number that you agree on. And now this guy's had a season that's not as good as it would have been if he had a clear head. And then he reaches free agency and he's batting 230, you know?
Yeah, for Matt Barnes, it was the reverse, right? It was like he was pitching well, got the deal, and then he was terrible. So it's at least it worked out for Matty Backpacks. But it doesn't – I mean, and that's, I guess that's another example, right, of a guy that they signed in the middle of the year. So it does happen. It's just not – it's not overly common. But, yeah, Kike is going to be here next year. It's nice to know you at least want some RSVPs to be coming back. You want to have some guys that are definitely going to be at the party next season. Because, you know, the uncertainty is high. You have a lot of these guys hitting free agency. What happens with Eovaldi, the Xander one we're going to talk about for every second of every day for the next, who knows, few months. And I love when it's going to be a big story when he opts out, by the way. Like that, like that's like a
that
real thing.
That will be a headline. That will be
that's
a headline.
That's going to be a big, Xander Bogaerts opts out, as if we're not seeing that one coming from
somebody
a mile
said
away.
To me the other day outside of a bar, I go to bars sometimes.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm a cool guy. Yeah,
of course.
I'm standing outside, and this guy is, like, talking socks with me. And he's like, dude, I'm hearing Xander might opt out of his contract at the end of this year. And I was like, and I just went with it. I was like, damn, dude, really?
What?
Is that what you're hearing? Like, that's
who are your sources, bro?
I don't know. Jeez. Dude, that's pretty wild, man. That would shake the world. If that happens, dude, know that that's a really big deal.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so funny. How bad of a year do you think Xander would have had to not opt out?
I remember we talked about this before the season. Yeah. I think on one of our first shows, we were like, what if Xander just has a terrible season and then opts in? Because it wasn't – the opt-in was never – no one considered that the entire time.
No.
Like even when the offseason was going on, all the talks, no one considered that he could just opt in. And ourselves included, but I think we were putting numbers up there. We were like, what if he hits like, I don't know, like 230, 220? But hey, Joey, let's, in our defense, and I don't even think we said that he was going to opt in, so I don't know why I have to say in our defense. In the defense of some crazy person that was like, he's going to opt in, these power numbers are not much different than what they would need to be for him to opt in.
Yeah.
Like that's you know one part of it that's like a little crazy that we're at September, 7th, 8th, and he's got 12 homers. I still can't believe that.
You know what's funny is like the numbers that people are throwing out for potential Xander deals are like not far off from the contract that he has.
They're not crazy.
No.
Stats had a great article. I would highly recommend y'all read it. When Stats drops an article, it's must read because he does like 3 a year. Mm-hmm. And he did one on like the projections of Xander contracts. And I think they're going to get it done, Joey. I think based on if Haim reads this, they're going to get this deal done.
Send it to Haim.
Yeah. He plots it out really well in terms of
so
comparing
what is he
it to
looking
Baez.
At AAV?
AAV, he has a couple of charts down here. Mm-hmm. One of them's 23, one of them's 25. And then the last one he listed out was 32 a year, which is just, let's just stop. That's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But he was comparing
and
that
25?
To 23 and 25, yeah.
Okay.
The first one he does is a comparison to Story and Baez contracts, which is a five-year, $115 million deal. I personally think there's a 0% chance Xander would sign that. That would be 23 a year through his age 34 season. Mm-hmm. I can't envision that's going to be the case when, especially considering he's turned it on here. I don't know how much a batting title really helps. I think it's another bargaining chip that they can use. Like, hey, this guy's a reigning batting champ. But if you go down the list here, some of these numbers aren't crazy. I mean, the $25 million was over 8 years. So that would be like an eight-year, $200 million deal. I highly doubt that. That would be through his age 37 season. The Sox never do that. So if you're a Sox fan, like Joey and myself, I think it should be somewhere in that five to six-year range. And like what? He's probably gonna want 25.
So the thing is, so he's making 20 on his
like
deal.
Like 6,150 maybe. Right? Yeah.
He's 29 years old. And his power numbers are big down. I don't think it's insane to think that maybe he opts in hopes of buffing some numbies. I think okay. Let me
He's
be
not
real.
Opting in, Joey.
Let me be realistic here. There's a 100% chance he opts in. He's coming back. Listen.
Yeah, one thing that's tough, and I know TC's alluded to this. I'm curious what you think of this, but the way he's talked this year, I don't want to say it's been in past tense, but it's very much been in reminiscing tense. Mm-hmm. It's very much been in, oh, the times we've had tense. Mm-hmm. And I just... That's been the biggest concern for me, as one of many people that want Xander to be back, is the way he's been handling the Jermai interviews. And Jermai has been great. Talk about a great season for Jermai. That's all time. It's Jermai, A-plus job. He had a great report there from left field before the game about the Franchi incident. How dumb, by the way. This is a good time to talk about this real quick. Yeah, we'll have plenty of time to talk about Xander. How stupid is it? And I think I knew this, but I didn't know this. I think I just kind of blacked this out, that at the Trop, they don't have actual dirt. It's just the same as the field. It's the same as the turf.
The infield is dirt.
Yeah.
So why
isn't the warning track
the warning
dirt?
Yeah. Because the whole thing about the warning track is to feel that there's a difference in the ground.
So you don't die.
So that doesn't happen. So what happened to Franchi doesn't happen to people.
Whatever. The Franchi thing was tough because he played it pretty terribly. In his defense, the dirt thing. So, like, he's got that going for him. But he kind of half did it where he was like, I don't know if I'm going to catch this. I don't know if I'm not. And he jumped a little early and just landed weird in the wall. It was just an awkward play all around. But I think he was fully excused when I realized the dirt thing. To your point, Joey, I had always assumed it was dirt because the infield's dirt. It's not like they're anti-dirt at the Trop. Yeah. They're just anti-logic.
They have dirt.
They have dirt. Maybe. It's not like they don't have dirt in St. Pete.
Have we considered maybe they ran out of dirt?
They might have run out of dirt. I don't think we factored that in.
That place is getting silly, bro. That home run, was it Yandy's home run that like broke the camera in center?
I think, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, that place is so ridiculously silly. I've turned the corner on the Trop. I used to think it was kind of cute and charming, and I liked that was just a terrible ballpark in the division. I kind of liked that. This injury single-handedly turned it around. I was like, oh, he didn't realize the wall was there because the warning track didn't warn him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Not great. Literally just have it be green. Don't even have it be brown. Whoever was putting that down, I wonder if whoever put that down for a second thought, guys, wait a second. We're painting this brown. Isn't the point of the brown to be dirt? So that you know the wall is coming? Like,
so ridiculous.
What? I mind blown by that. It's tough because, like, I hate the Trop. We all hate the Trop. But then I see, I think, like, Middlebrooks had, like, this kind of rant about the Trop on Twitter. It's like, there is a level of, yeah, we all know. We all know the place sucks. So it's hard for me to, like, overdo it when it's like, yeah, we all know the Trop sucks. Like, it's 2022. This thing's been around since the 90s. It's not like we're going to bring up – I was going to say it's not like we're going to bring up some new Trop thing that sucks. We just did. So if you're going to stick with the warning
There's
track thing,
things.
I got no problem
There's
with it.
New things.
But it's like the roof being white is obviously stupid. You know, catwalks, the whole setup. Yeah, the catwalks, all that stuff sucks.
I will forever talk about the bullpens. I don't care if you're tired of that or not. I'm going to keep bringing up the bullpens forever because I think the bullpens are insane. It's absolutely insane.
You shouldn't have – it's Major League Baseball. You shouldn't have bullpens in play. That's crazy. That's
under no circumstances, bro.
Low-level minors stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's high school fields that have surpassed that stupid setup.
Yeah.
The only other park that does it is Oakland. So, I mean, if there's one thing in common between only two ballparks in the majors, and it's the Trop and Oakland, it's probably not a good thing.
It's not great.
No. So I'll keep harping on that one forever. But obviously, yeah, ridiculous what happened to Franchi. Ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel bad for Franchi. Yeah. I mean, I know I've probably had 8 million different opinions about Franchi during his, 2 years here. But you don't want to see that happen to anybody. And it's really garbage that it's not dirt on a warning track. What are we talking about? Like, figure it out. One more thing on Bogey real quick. I had seen during the pregame show they were talking, is this Bogey's, you know, best season so far? And I did a double take. I was like, wait, what? Is it his best season so far? I don't know how we can go from the struggles that he was having briefly there in August to now it's his best season. It's not his best season. Like, that's a little crazy to just jump up to, like, best season. This guy had 33 homers, 117 RBIs with a 939 OPS in 2019. That's, I mean, his stats in 2019 are all better than this year. So I guess his batting average is a little less, and that's what everyone cares about still. But
Everyone's in
I was blown away. I was blown away, Joey, to hear that floated. Is it his best season? Now, defensively, I haven't seen him play better than this, and that's been uplifting. You gotta think part of that is him just really clamping down and being like, it's a, you know, an opt-out year. We got to clean this up. And I think it was Jim McCaffrey that had a really good article on it earlier in the season of the Devers and the Bogarts spending a lot of time in the offseason on their defensive mechanics, how quick they're getting the ball out, you know, how they can take a little more time than they think sometimes. I think that was a big thing for Devers. He was rushing throws a lot of times and sailing them into the dugout. So Bogey overall has had a really good year. I just think we're a little crazy if we're going to say this is his best season yet. I can't get there.
No.
That's my thoughts
on that. No. Next question, please.
Next question. Yeah. We got a lot more to talk about, Joey, but it is time for a break on episode 57 of Inside the Monster.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
We are back on episode 57 of the official Red Sox podcast, Inside the Monster. I think it's finally the Hansel Robles episode.
So Hansel Robles this year, yes.
Also known as last episode and this episode. Last episode was Darren Bragg.
Yep.
And
this episode is also Manny Del Carmen.
Nice. It's E-Rod.
E-Rod. Yeah. Kind of the big one. I think it's
he just
E-Rod
gave up a
episode.
Bomb to Mike Trout. He just got a bomb hit off him. This is for me, this is the Rod Beck episode. Shout out to Rod Beck.
Sure.
R.I.P. A little before your time. A little before your time.
I mean, I was alive.
You were alive.
I wasn't online yet.
Yeah, I was really online a lot in 99.
Yeah, I was
online in 99. That was my handle. It was crazy.
It's kind of sick.
What is who's the stats guy? Who's the God? Why am I blanking on this? Oh, this is so bad. I should not be blanking on this.
The stats guy?
I should not be blanking on this.
Red Sox stats.
Not Red Sox stats. It's, oh my God. Bill James, right? Bill James?
Sure.
Yes.
If that's who you're talking James. About.
Bill James, who is like famously credited for changing how we looked at analytics in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
His handle on Twitter is Bill James Online, which has always been fun. I don't know why that's always been the funniest thing ever. It's like, this guy's online. There is no getting around it.
Nope.
He is active. He
online
is active.
And active. Ready to
what
go.
What else jumped out to you in this eventful series? Oh, what a
dude.
Fun one.
Nothing. Nothing. This sucked. What are you talking about?
I had zero notes for game three. I do notes for every game.
Yeah.
I had no notes written down.
No, it was a boring game. The whole series stunk. The most interesting thing we already did a short on.
Yeah, it's very
and it
true.
Was, and it didn't even happen on the field.
I know.
It was in the
yeah,
stands.
Yeah, definitely check that out
if
you haven't. We did a short on the guy that caught Casas' home run ball. A few people thought we were a little too harsh on him. I think we were fair. Also, it's a lot of this is tongue-in-cheek. It's not like I think this guy's an absolute idiot. Like, we know. We heard the same story, too, that he tried to go to the dugout at first and, like, whatever. The guy's still...
I've turned a full corner. I feel bad.
I don't feel
bad. No, he deserved it. I think he's
odd at best.
As I listened to again the Bradfo show. As I listened to them,
big ads for the Bradfo
show. Yeah,
I know. On this one. God,
I'm in their pocket. I'll be honest with you, dude.
Gotta be.
I heard him talk for like a minute, and I was like, this is like a guy. He's just like a dude. And it, like one of the first things he says, like, I don't really like attention. I don't really want the you know, whatever.
Yeah, as he gets, then he gets interviewed by Jemai, he's like, this is going to go viral in Boston. Like, I dropped my chicken finger. I keep mixing it up. He dropped his phone. He dropped his chicken finger.
It was wings. He finished the wings. He didn't like the fries.
Dropped the phone,
and
blah,
this
blah,
is,
blah.
This is some really serious analysis here. This sucks, dude. This sucked. The only takeaway could be, like, at least you handed some to the Rays, but the Yankees kept winning, so it doesn't even feel like you know, obviously the Rays need to win then, but it I don't know, if you're not actually gaining numbers on the Yankees, it just doesn't feel as meaningful. I don't know if you saw this. Garrett Cole threw like a gem tonight. He struck out 14 in like 5 1/3. It's just,
it happens.
Yeah, it's a bummer, dude. It's a bummer. I legitimately hate when he does well. Just I don't care if it has
you hate
to do with
when
this.
He does well just, you're the only one, Joe.
What I'm saying is it has nothing to do with, you know, the Yankees winning or whatever.
Cole
it's just, I just don't like him being happy.
He's a bum.
Just
he's
do,
like,
I don't
Garrett
like
Cole
happy.
Is like confirmed not a good person. So it's easy to root against him. But one thing I thought that was funny in this series, did you notice in game one when they kept having Jim Rice call in during the Xander at-bats?
He wanted nothing to do with that.
And that made me I was laughing. I was laughing the whole time.
That made
First
me
off,
hilarious.
That made me hilarious. I'm glad that you caught that. In my brain, I'm like, no, it's not hilarious. It's laugh. They're about the same thing, but like you can't say it.
That made me so funny.
Dude, when... when Jim Rice had to keep calling in, that made me so hilarious. It was.
It kind of works. I like it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, actually. It sounds normal coming out. But he was, it sounded like he was in a cave. I think he's using a cell phone from like the 90s. And a guy on their network. I'm like, how is it not coming in clear? What is going on here? But it's funny because I think the OB, by the third time, first off, Joey.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think a single soul listening to this, and no offense to Jim Rice or Kevin Youkilis, I think they might even agree. I don't think a single soul gives a damn about the consecutive game streak of multiple hits. Does anyone care about that?
Oh yeah, I did.
You cared? Who cares? Yeah. That's not a thing.
Oh, it's totally a thing.
Oh, you fell for it, Joey.
Multi-hit games?
Consecutive multi-hit games? It's like, I mean, if we're talking about remember when Bob had that home run streak going?
Sure.
Like consecutive games with a homer? That feels like more of a thing than consecutive games with a, you know. And Xander, credit to Xander. He's been using the whole field this year. But consecutive games, you know, you slice a couple here. You, I don't know. It just doesn't
that
sit
does
the same.
Nothing for you, multi-hit games?
I'm saying what I'm talking about, a multi-hit game is great. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about if you asked anyone on the planet who has the Red Sox record for most consecutive multi-hit games, no one would know.
I would say probably one of their best hitters is what I would say. I'd say, is it Ted Williams?
I mean, it represents something important. But it's not like, oh my God, I'm rushing to my TV to see if Xander ties Jim Rice and Kevin Youkilis. I was also looking at it like, and this is exactly what happened. I was like, well, what's the best outcome here? He ties it and then, oh, cool. Like Jim says, great, you know, good stuff.
Good
and that's exactly what happened. He tied the streak, and Jim was like, all right, you know, can I go back to hanging out on the couch? Like, what was this all about? The last, it was funny because OB, by the third time they were doing it, was like, all right, here we go. We're patching it, you know, Jim Rice again. Jim, you think he's going to get it? He goes, I hope so.
And
not in like I'm pulling for him. It's like, stop calling me. I got a good laugh out of that. So that's what we need at this point. We just need stuff that's going to make us laugh because it's going to hide all the misery. So
speaking of sounding like you're in a cave.
Yeah.
Any long-term listeners of this show, way back when we were doing
way back to March.
Yeah. When I was, 11?
Jeez,
we started
12?
The show?
Something like that.
Long-time listeners of this show will remember that we had a good laugh about the Alex Cora WEEI commercial with,
yes.
Like, afraid COVID-19 will throw you a curveball? Strike out COVID with this splitter. That ad now runs on our show.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I went to listen to our show the other day. Just take notes, you know.
Yeah.
I give you pointers just because, like, you ask. You're
yeah,
like,
exactly.
Hey, where do you think I can improve? I'm still learning at this thing.
That's
you know?
What I text you every day. That's what I'm new to this. Yeah.
Hey, Joey, any notes for me? And I'm like, dude, I said I would text you first. And you're like, sorry, Mr. Capone.
You're like, jeez, buddy.
Yeah. I tossed it on and it opened with that and I nearly passed away, dude. So, fingers crossed it's on this episode.
One thing I wanted to mention, Joe, I think there's a chance the most replies we've ever gotten for a video promo happened in this last week. Now, this is a heart-to-heart here. I got to ask you, because I sent the promo to you first.
It was a bit.
Like,
it was a bit.
I was like, you cool with this going out there? You're like, that is funny.
That's all I said, though. That's all I said, though. And I know that's all I said because I intentionally only
you didn't
said
say,
that.
You didn't explicitly say post it. You didn't specifically
no.
say
You said, I'm going to pull it up.
Yeah, let's see the
you
exact.
You said, I found this very funny. Let me know your thoughts. And I said, LOL, it's good. And then you said, I'd be down to post this on all platforms. And then I didn't reply. And then I opened up Twitter to mentions that are like, you casual. Are you looking for a new co-host, Steve? This guy's a moron. Like, okay. All right. Sick.
Oh, that was
so
funny.
Steve, after all of the hours that I have spent editing our graphics to make your head half the size that it is.
It's huge.
You go and toss me directly under a moving
Joey.
Train.
This was.
I almost said we should cut that out of the episode. I never said it, but I thought I was like, man, that.
Well,
was
if
tough.
You had said that, I mean, I would have. Come on, I would have done
tough.
Something.
It was
different.
A tough look.
Yes,
but it was a bit. But it was a bit.
Here's the thing, Joey.
Yeah.
And this would this there would be times on the former show that this would happen where I'm like, ah, God, I feel like I look dumb here. You mentioned somewhere was you know just missed something. Mm. Yet that was. Genuinely such a funny exchange that I was like and there were
it was
before
good.
Posting it a lot of replies are coming in of like oh my God the you know pair of shoes it's like I think we got to post this I think we got to put the video out there now I knew that it wasn't going to make you look great but I'm sure I mean I don't always look great like I feel like there's going to be a couple things that'll come up over the course of this program that you just got to bite the bullet, and
listen,
it sucks.
Listen, I can take one on the chin for content. I can totally do
okay.
that.
Okay. I just
totally
didn't want you to take it.
When
I didn't
I
want
saw,
you to be like, what the hell?
No. But I will say, the second I saw somebody reply and say, the Ace Ticket commercial, I was like, oh, right. Yeah, no, I remember that. And then somebody put like a video where they were like, here's like a couple instances where he said it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've heard him say that. I don't know what it was. I heard it and was like, oh, yeah. It's just one that like doesn't, I don't know. There's ones that just stick out more.
There's something that you guys need to know about Joey. Mm-hmm. And it's that, and I will put my hand up. I got a lot of Steve stuff. Mm-hmm. My dad calls them Steven's stupid rules. I got a lot of weird things I go by. Joey's brain is so interesting because I feel like I know you watch all the games. Mm-hmm. I swear some of the stuff just, you just don't hear some of the stuff. Like and I'm not even saying this as an insult. I swear that like some of the words you're like, nah, I don't choose to hear those.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, dude, even as we were just talking about the Jim Rice thing, I'm like, I know he was there. I don't really remember what he was saying. I remember I almost tweeted about it, and then I saw you had already tweeted about it, and I was like,
yeah,
whatever, I'll just lay off that one. But as of this moment, if you were to ask me, like, say something that Jim Rice said, nah, can't do it. Can't do it.
We've had a couple instances this year where there's been things in the broadcast, like, what are you talking about? I'm like, yeah, that was like a big part of the game. Like, nah, I don't know about
there
that.
There was one in particular, you were like, man, when Bogey got picked off, that really changed the course of the game. I was like, in this game? He got picked off? You're like, yeah, it was about.
It literally just happened, Joe.
It was the tying run, scoring position.
But I applaud you, Joe. I applaud you for taking the bullets. And I thought it was funny. Again, easy for me to say. I'm on the easy side of this. You know, like you were taking the bullets.
Listen,
that's what was happening.
Listen, Steve. I'm no stranger to that. I think the only ones that like I'll be honest hurt are the ones where people are like casual. Because then I'm not, that's one I get really defensive about. That I'm like, I promise I'm watching.
I hate those.
You know, you watch all the games in my life. Yeah,
you watch all the games. That's why I was so stunned. Yeah. That's why I was so stunned because I know you watch all the games.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I've even opinion wise have been in some pretty stupid places, like. Just as far as the Red Sox go. Like, I go back to, like, I don't know, I was just, like, going through, like, old Facebook posts that I used to make about the Sox. And I was like, I thought this? I won't say who on this show. Actually, I'm going to say it, and then I'll bleep out their name. I one time tweeted at the Wikipedia link to the article on narcissism and said, hey, I think you should check this out.
Oh, God.
That's like straight up mean. That's like so mean to like a guy who absolutely does not deserve that.
Go back and delete it.
Oh, it's gone. It's gone.
It's gone. Okay.
It's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are, listen, not every moment can be a bright spot. Not every day is a sunny day.
That happens.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't remember where I was going with this. I was waiting for this big finale.
You're like, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying.
I forgot. And yeah. And you know, the other stuff. And
back to you in the booth.
The other thing too, and it's good.
Oh man. But hey, you're a good sport, Joe. You're a good sport for taking the beating on Twitter for that one. That was something though. I decided to debut the captions on the video for that one. I was like, oh, the captions are gonna crush for this. Like let's do that. But hey, now we got captions on videos. Mm-hmm. I think it looks cool. It pops. A couple things about the series, real quick.
Yep.
I was curious. I was like, wait, was Casas' only hit the home run? It was. He was 1-for-11 in his first career road series, had that 2-run homer on Tuesday, 6 strikeouts, 3 left on base for Tristan Casas. He looks like a big leaguer. I'm glad that he seems to be fitting the role well. He's had a couple of really good scoops at first. Defensively, he's been good. No real issues. He had that one ball where he was running back on, and I think Verdugo called him off. He probably could have caught it, but if anyone's calling you off and you're in your like third career game, you're obviously getting the hell out of the way, so I can't blame him there. One thing from Wednesday that just looked, gotta say, Joe, just looked odd was seeing Bobby in the Woo Sox uniform. That was odd. Mustache Bob,
no less.
Dude. I know.
Yeah. It's weird.
He's wearing a disguise down there. He doesn't want people to know that it's him.
Yeah, he's wearing like the glasses with the nose and mustache attached.
It's not me. I'm still in the Red Sox.
Yeah, I'm Robbie Dalbec. Damn it.
I'm Robbie Ballbeck. Ah, damn, you got me. But he went deep, went 3-for-4 in the Woo Sox debut. Call I know up. He played in Pawtucket 3 years ago, but his first time with the Woo Sox. and he looked good. It's just funny seeing, not funny, but Duran Dahlbeck. I'm like, man, what could have been for this year?
Worcester's kind of stacked, bro.
Worcester's
loaded.
Maybe
they might make that one game Super Bowl that they have in AAA.
Yeah, Joey and I were looking this up. It feels like something I should have known, but I didn't. The playoff format for the International League in AAA is ridiculous. Basically, there's two divisions of 10 teams, and you have to win the division to get into a one-game championship on whatever it is, like 3 weeks from now. It's like October 2nd. And then the winner of that plays like the Pacific League champion in a one-game title for AAA. How that's what happens is bizarre to me. Maybe I'm missing some roster thing where it's like contractually it needs to be over by a certain... I'm sure I'm normally missing something, but I just... That's crazy. That's genuinely crazy to me. Doesn't it just make it so clear that AAA is just solely to be like, yeah, we're ready for you if you need us, big league team?
Because, I mean, it's basically telling those guys, like, yeah, you played the whole season, but, I mean, it's at the end of the day, it's for nothing, you know?
It's just to stay ready for the big leagues. That's, like, all
it is. This doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Did you guys think this matters? What, have you guys been training and working hard?
Shout out to the Cape League, my favorite league, but they have a pretty in-depth playoff format. There's 8 of the 10 teams in the Cape League make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And they play like best 2 out of 3 series that continue to advance. Mm-hmm. And you for AAA, you have a one game playoff basically. Like, I don't know what the hell that's all about. I don't love that. But yeah. I was going to do a bogey. Let's check it out, Joey. Bogey batting title update.
He's still leading the league, dude.
He is tied.
315. He's tied with the dude.
He's tied with Luis Arraez, who is, I believe, 3 for 9 in the doubleheader, which is right around 315. So, yeah, he's maintained that average. That'll be an interesting one. Bogey left with back spasms in game 2. I'm sure he's fine, right? Didn't sound like anything was – it's just kind of like, yeah, we're going to keep him out. Season's over.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, they also could have just said that, but whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, true. I saw Red Sox Stats had tweeted out a poll – and I believe he's been doing this every month of the season. It was a poll about, I'll just read it out. Less than a month until this offseason, which do you believe will be the outcome with Bogaerts' endeavors this winter? And here are the results of the 4 options. Xander leaves, Raffy stays. Got the second most votes, 44%. Xander re-signs, Raffy stays. Got the most. So people are more optimistic than I thought. Xander re-signs and Raffy stays got like half the votes. There were over 3,000 votes for this. Wow. Xander leaves, Raffy traded, 6.2%. Xander re-signs, Raffy traded, 1.7%. And in the replies,
Who is saying that one?
What's that?
That Xander re-signs and Raffy gets traded. Who's saying that?
So, a good segue to a reply that Red Sox Stats had to himself.
Mm-hmm.
In today's poll, 1.7% of people voted that this winter, Bogaerts re-signs and Devers is traded. Recently, I've been getting a creeping feeling that that outcome is more in play than we expect. I obviously think that would be a terrible play by the organization. It made me want to puke reading that. The idea of Xander re-signing and Devers getting traded? What's the plan?
Get Judge. I mean, that would suck if they trade. If I mean, there's nobody. I don't care if it's Shohei and Judge. I mean,
that would be pretty sick,
okay, actually. But if it's not Shohei and Judge coming back for Rafael Devers, I want absolutely no part of it. There's no other combo. I don't know. That's so stupid. But what you should take into account here, Steve, is that this is a guy who's not with the team, who just said he has a feeling. He didn't say I'm hearing.
No, I
he
know.
He didn't say anything. He just said I'm getting a gut feeling.
To me, this is the guy, though.
But I can write off the guy's gut feeling.
No, I treat stats as a god. Someone replied, awful, awful, awful idea, but just out of curiosity, who would be the suitors for a Devers trade, and what would the package for him even be? Stats replies, I won't be here to break it down if that happens, so I'm not worried about it. Stats will be dead if Rafael Devers is traded. Confirmed. Mm-hmm. Confirmed via Twitter. So this is interesting, though. I bring the poll up because Stats has done this poll every third month? in February, the yes results for Bogaerts being back in 2023, 77%. In May, 64%. July, 56%. September, 49%. So fans are, as the season has gone on, continue to think less and less that Bogaerts is going to be back, which leads me to what I was about to say, Joe. Mm-hmm. I'm probably around, what percentage right now would you say Bogey comes back? This is the gut percentage. I'm at 42.
I was at 55, 58 in that range.
Okay.
Yep.
Feels fair. Basically, the voters are right between us. So, yeah, it's kind of where I think a lot of people are at, in the 40 to 50% range. And then who knows? Maybe that changes as the next 2 months go by. But I thought it was interesting. Nice job, Stats, as always.
Nice job, Stats.
Great, great work there. But, yeah, I think that'll do it for the series breakdown. I don't believe I had anything else. Oh, Uke, by the way, just great year by Uke. I love when Uke's in the booth. And
we all do.
Some folks in the comments weren't. I tweeted about a few weeks ago. Some people are out, but I think some is the vast minority. I think most people are definitely down for Uke being in the booth for a while. I loved it early in the series. He was like, Red Sox got to score early to take this crowd out. And like, I think it was like
so
game
good.
Two.
Such
and
a
I was
good
like,
line.
I just started laughing. I was like, that's actually great.
Yeah.
But he shouldn't. I think he explained it right after. He's like, you know, I'm like, no, you're good. Like, we get it. We get it.
Well, because he's sitting next to Dave O'Brien, who's probably like, no.
It didn't. Then, I don't think it landed.
And then
I don't
today
think
in game three, at the beginning of the game, Dave is like, the Sox got to score early here to take the crowd out of the game. Like you said yesterday, Uke, right?
Oh,
and
I
he's like,
that.
Haha, yeah. I don't love that. No. I know.
I missed that. I was doing a fantasy draft. Missed it.
Yeah. Yep. Happened.
We have our closing thoughts remaining in episode 57 of Inside the Monster, and that is coming up next. Welcome back to episode 57. Of Inside the Monster. We got less than a month left in this glorious 2022 Red Sox season. Joey, do you have a closing thought?
It's concert season, bro. I feel like everybody's going to concerts. Am I dumb, or is like the end of summer, fall, like the hot concert time, and I had no idea?
I think August, September is a huge concert time.
I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh, this I know Fenway goes off in August. They always have like three concerts. I'm going to Kid Cudi on Saturday. Very excited for that at the Garden. Well, you got one. You're going to one soon, right?
Yeah, my buddies are at My Chemical Romance right now. I'm very, very beat up about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Father John Misty. I'm going to see Modest Mouse. You're going to see Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I think that's the whole list. Too many concerts. Also, all these concerts that I see people going to are like inside. Outside, fall is the perfect time for an outside concert. I don't know why. I don't know. I know we did just throw out Fenway, but are you seeing Kid Cudi at Fenway?
No, it's the Garden.
Yeah, that's. I don't know. I want to be outside during a fall night. I don't know. Call me
Fenway
crazy.
Wouldn't have Kid Cudi. Fenway would have, they had the Red Hot Chili Peppers, or I think they're coming up, and I wanted to see that, but it's... I think it would line up with this concert. I don't know. It's a lot of Fenway concerts this year.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to go to any of them, which I'm upset about. But they also line up with like other trips we were doing. So
yeah,
couldn't really pull it off.
Bill Burr would have been cool.
I
don't know.
Seeing the comedian outside, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I love it. I feel like you almost need it to be like dim to get your best laughs in.
Yeah. The best comedy shows, I mean, I'm not breaking any ground here by saying this, the best comedy shows are really small clubs. Like, if
yes,
you can
yeah.
see a guy in like a 100 to 500 seat place, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would completely agree. Closing thought. This is a stupid thought. So I was watching Jalen Beeks, former Red Sox legend, now dominating for the Rays. One of those is right, and it's the latter, unfortunately. And it hit me. Is this a stupid thing that I'm about to say here?
Mm-hmm.
For a pitcher like Beeks, who like hides the ball well, he does this little like half arm, little hide the ball thing. Wouldn't it be harder to see the ball when he's pitching at home because he's wearing all white versus when the backdrop of the ball is like the gray jersey or like a darker is that one of the dumbest things you've ever heard? It hit me. I'm like, I wonder how much that ball blends in with the jersey.
I gotta see his release point from home.
It's very like he does this little half arm thing where he's like hiding it in his jersey,
just like a
essentially.
T-Rex thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he does a little T-Rex thing, mm-hmm. and then just kind of zips it, and it's and it like. I gotta think it's
that's
on
a
similar
impression of a major league athlete.
He like does that, little zip. He it looks like I'm just
the most fabulous toss I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
he's
I did
not
that was
doing
like
that.
He just got his nails done or something. Yeah. But it like seemingly stays in the path that the hitter's eye would see and be looking at his jersey. And I just wondered if that was the dumbest thought of all time, that it's harder to pick him up when he's pitching at home wearing a white jersey.
It's up there.
It's not a crazy thing to say, though, right?
Again, I got to see his release point from home. I know he
I'm
does
saying
the
concept,
thing.
Joey. I'm talking concept. That, like, you could lose the ball in a white jersey. White ball, white jersey.
Oh, whoa.
From what you're seeing as a hitter. I had never thought of that before
no.
for some reason until I saw Jalen Beeks pitch.
No, because the physics don't make sense. That would mean that, like, no.
I'm talking pants, too. White pants, white jersey. You're a white thing.
I guess it depends if you're like a short guy, but I can't picture it. I can't picture it.
Just let me know in the comments below if this won't be a problem.
Kike's gonna reply and be like, "Yeah, no, it actually is." Yeah,
I'm just saying. Let me know if that's a crazy thing to say. I don't know if it is that you could lose the ball or it could impact how you pick it up because he's wearing the white home jersey. Mm-hmm. It might be a crazy thing, but I don't think it is for a guy that does the T-Rex arm. Anyway, that's all I got, Joey. You got any anything else you think that's it?
No, but I got a great pitching preview for the series preview.
Nice. That is the next you will hear from us in this preview of Red Sox-Orioles. Feels like they've been playing at Camden a lot lately. We got to get there next season. We will get to Camden Yards next year. But that is the next you'll hear from us. For Joey Capone, I'm Steve Peralta. Go Sox, kid. Inside the Monster is a production of Odyssey in partnership with the Boston Red Sox. The show is produced by me, Steve Peralt. Our executive producer is Lena Glazer, mixing and video editing by Joey Capone. Special thanks to the Red Sox and Major League Baseball for their contributions to the production of this podcast.